Goedemorgen, op deze mooie zondagmorgen van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. We zijn erg blij met al die mensen die op zondagmorgen vroeg opstaan om dit programma te zien. Misschien gaat u straks naar de kerk. 2 uur lang zenden we elke zondag uit en dat vinden we geweldig. Hour of Power wil een boodschap doorgeven van hoop en van geloof. Geloof in God. En wat is er mooi om deze zondagmorgen te beginnen met een dienst vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En daar gaan we nu naartoe.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
Well, turn around, shake hands with somebody behind you or in front of you and welcome them. This is the day that God has made. Yeah.
We are rejoicing.
And we are glad in it.
Yes,
and we will share that positive enthusiasm in our life this week at work and play.
We will.
So let's pray. Oh God, we come here and we are filled with your spirit.
Yes.
That's en theos. In God enthusiasm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So bless every person here. And if someone is here with a deep personal hurt, from, bless them in a way that only you can bless them. Hear this prayer, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey!
You may be seated. The scripture. One of the favorite psalms in the Old Testament. A psalm written by David. Psalm 100. This young man who was raised as a shepherd became one of the great believers. And from his heart, he became a poet. And his poetry lives on. We call them psalms. They're meant to be sung. This morning I read Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And the next verse we inscribed in metal at the front gate of this property. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. I have people who say, I have nothing to give. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Repeat, his faithfulness continues through all generations. Well over 2,000 years after this shepherd boy wrote this poem, we read it today here in the United States of America. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
thank you, choir. Today, I'm so excited to introduce to you a woman that I got to know as I read her book, I Will Carry You, The Sacred Dance of Grief and Joy by Angie Smith. And this is a book, it's a story about a woman and her pregnancy, knowing she's carrying a child that the doctors have told her will not live. She's the wife of Todd Smith, the lead singer of Selah. Angie Smith. Angie, come on up. Oh, God bless you. I'll tell you, I loved your book. You're just a young mommy, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
You have girls.
All girls.
You have all girls.
All girls. In fact, if Audrey had survived, I would have five.
Five girls.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So lots of pink in your house?
Lots of pink.
And Barbie mm-hmm. dolls?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Everything is princess themed?
Everything.
I can't relate at all because I have all boys. Everything in my house was G.I. Joe and, you know, anyway. So tell us, you had your twin daughters.
Right.
Abby and Ellie. And Ellie. Mm-hmm. And then you had another little one.
I did. Sarah Kate, yeah. who just turned five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're close in age.
Yes.
And then you got pregnant with Audrey.
Yes.
And you went in for a routine exam, right?
Exactly.
And tell us about that examination.
Well, we had some testing come back a little bit unusual, mm-hmm. but it wasn't anything that was a major concern. So they went in just to make sure that everything looked normal.
Yeah.
And just a few minutes into the ultrasound, I could tell from the technician's face that there was something terribly yeah. wrong. And I just remember saying, is this baby going to live? And she looked at me and she said, I don't know. I need to get the doctor. So at that point, it just sort of became a blur. And I just remember falling into Todd's lap and just crying and wishing that it was a dream, but knowing that my life was about to change.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the first thing you did as a Christian, as a woman of God? Mm-hmm. What did you do?
I just said my Jesus is the same right now as he was before I walked in that door.
Yeah.
And I repeated that over and over again, as much to hear the words myself as to say them. But that was what got me through that awful appointment. And one of the things that we did was we just said to them, we don't know how long we have with her, but we want to live life while we do. And she's here now, she's alive, so what should we do with her? And my daughter Ellie said, I want to show her Cinderella's castle.
Mm-hmm.
So a few weeks later, we got on a plane and we went to Disney World, and we have pictures of her talking to my stomach and pointing at the castle and saying, that's it, Audrey, that's what I told you about.
Yeah.
And just really made her a part of our everyday life.
So they shared life with her
yes.
for as long as she was alive.
They did.
And she was born alive.
She was. She lived for about 2.5 hours, long enough for all the girls to come in and for us to take pictures with her and love on her. And we sang hymns and prayed for her. And it was just a really special, peaceful time.
I just want to thank you, Angie, for writing this book, because it's very real, it's very honest, and it gives people permission to be real and honest in their faith with God and their relationship with Him, and to run to Him and to cry out to Him and say, I don't get it.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yes.
And know that He's big enough for us to do this. He's big enough. And when we do run to Him, like your book title says, He will pick us up. Mm-hmm. And He will carry us through through anything.
That's right.
So tell us that you do have another girl now.
We do. We do. We had our daughter Charlotte Olivia, another girl. she was born about 3.5 months ago, and she's just an extraordinary joy. We've been very blessed to have her in sort of the midst of one of the darkest times in our lives.
Yes. And what courage. What courage you have.
Thank you.
Angie, I am so thrilled with what God is doing.
Thank you.
In your life.
Thank you.
So God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks again. So
give
her a thank you, please. I Will Carry You is the name of her book, and it's available at our bookstore online. And now I'm pleased to introduce the award-winning group, Selah, and Angie's husband, Todd. Raise your hand, Todd, so they know. There he is, the husband who walked with his wife and his family and went through the same journey with them. And we're so pleased to have them. They have sold over 2 million albums. They've won 4 Dove Awards for the Inspirational Album of the Year. They're singing the title track from their new album, You Deliver Me. Thank you, Selah.
Deep as the ocean, bright as rain, this powerful emotion lifts me up above the plain. It's taking me to places I never thought I'd go, showing me a grace I never thought I'd know. When I feel absolute beginner, whose heart has never seen. I must be forgiven for sometimes asking why I was chosen to be given you in this life. When I feel like
zondag spreekt Hour of Power vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. U vindt bemoediging en inspiratie in onze uitzendingen? Dan wilt u toch ook dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? We hebben 1000 nieuwe donateurs nodig. Voor slechts €1,25 per week levert u al een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. De boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde blijft mensenharten raken. Als u nu besluit ons te steunen, ontvangt u bovendien als blijk van onze dank een prachtig geschenk: Liefde en Leven. Een boek met persoonlijke verhalen, gedichten en foto's, waarin directeur Louis Paul u meeneemt op reis door 10 jaar Hour of Power. Tegenover thema's als schuld en schaamte ontdekt u Gods unieke genade en vergeving. Bent u nog geen donateur van Hour of Power en hebben wij u nieuwsgierig gemaakt naar dit unieke boek? Besluit dan nu om donateur te worden en ontvang dit prachtige boek geheel gratis. Kijk voor meer informatie op www.hourofpower.nl of bel ons 035 538 0588.
Vanmorgen is mijn gast Gangpat Berrevoet. En hij werd jaren geleden als baby geadopteerd door een gezin in Nederland wat geen kinderen kon krijgen. En dan kom je zo ineens van Bombay, of Mumbai zoals het tegenwoordig heet, in India hier terecht. Dat herinner je natuurlijk niet meer, hè?
Nee, daar weet ik helemaal niks meer van. Nee.
Is dat niet heel gek om in India geboren te zijn, geadopteerd te worden en dan eigenlijk min of meer gedwongen een Nederlander te moeten worden?
Ja, gedwongen. Gedwongen voel ik, nou, dat voel ik niet zo. Ik weet gewoon niet beter dan dat ik Nederlander ben. Ik ben geadopteerd toen ik 8 maanden was. Dus ja, daar weet je gewoon helemaal niks meer van.
Dat... Weet je of je ouders voor je konden zorgen of weet je er helemaal niets van?
Ik neem aan van niet. Ja, je kan er allerlei theorieën over bedenken, maar ik ben waarschijnlijk te vondeling gelegd. En meestal hebben ze daarvoor in kinderthuizen aparte luiken. Dus waarschijnlijk weten de mensen die mij daar dus ontvangen hebben ook niet, ja, wie mij heeft afgestaan.
Ja, dat is heel bijzonder. Ik heb dat met eigen ogen gezien toen ik in India was. Dat inderdaad een luikje is waar je kind anoniem kan afgeven.
Klopt, ja.
Vind je dat niet vreselijk voor jezelf?
Ik denk dat ik het meer vreselijk vind voor mijn moeder. Ik neem aan dat zou goed kunnen dat ze een alleenstaande moeder was. Ja, voor haar vind ik het erger dan voor mijzelf. Ja. Zij heeft mij als het ware de toekomst willen geven. Ja. En daarvoor ben ik er wel heel erg dankbaar.
Nou worden er duizenden kinderen per jaar in Nederland geadopteerd. Uit de hele wereld. Inmiddels gaat het om vele tienduizenden kinderen die door de loop van de jaren zijn geadopteerd. Hoe voelen jullie je? Gewoon Nederlander? Of mag ik dat zo vragen?
Natuurlijk mag je dat vragen. Ja, ik voel me echt wel Nederlander. Maar ik zal mijn afkomst nooit ontkennen. Het kan ook niet, want ik heb natuurlijk
een
ander kleurtje.
Ja.
Mijn naam, dat is ook nog wel een verhaal. Heel veel adoptiekinderen krijgen een Nederlandse naam. Die hebben mijn ouders expres niet willen geven. Omdat ze zeiden, ja, we willen dat laatste van hem ook nog niet afpakken.
Nee.
Of afpakken. In ieder geval, ja, die naam heb je gehad. Je komt daar vandaan en die willen weer graag blijven geven.
Ja. Je bent grootgebracht in een christelijk gezin. En waarschijnlijk daardoor studeer je nu theologie dus voor dominee.
Ja, het is een predikantopleiding in Apeldoorn, maar ik wil zelf geen predikant worden.
Nee?
Maar meer in het evangelisatiewerk werkzaam.
Waarom?
Ja, waarom? Dominee is een zwaar vak. En het is niet alleen maar staan op de kansel en een preek houden. Het is veel meer dan dat. Het is pastoraat, je hebt je vergaderingen, catechisaties. Allerlei werkzaamheden op dat gebied. En we zou me graag willen richten op een bepaald gebied en dat is dan evangelisatie.
Wat betekent God voor jou heel persoonlijk in jouw eigen leven?
Ja, in mijn leven is als eerste mijn schepper, een vader, die mij dus lief heeft gehad. Dat hij zijn enige geboren zoon gegeven heeft voor mij en voor een heleboel andere mensen.
Ja.
Eigenlijk voor iedereen. En ik erken me ook als mijn vader. Ik heb natuurlijk geen biologische vader meer. Natuurlijk erken ik mijn adoptievader ook. Maar hij is toch een vader die mij leidt en mij,
Ga je anders over God denken als vader met jouw achtergrond?
Anders dan andere mensen.
Ja?
Ja, misschien wel. Dat kan ik moeilijk zeggen, omdat ik niet weet hoe andere mensen daar dan precies over denken.
Nu loop je stage vanuit je theologische opleiding op het kantoor, op ons kantoor van Hour of Power in Laren, waar heel veel vrijwilligers werken. Jouw interesse gaat uit naar pastoraal werk. Dat doen we ook veel met onze vrijwilligers. Bijvoorbeeld mensen die in de problemen zitten, die ziek zijn en die vragen, willen jullie alsjeblieft voor ons bidden? Hoe komt dat bij jou over als je dat ziet?
Ja, als heel mooi. Ik denk dat mensen een gebed ook nodig hebben. Ik bedoel, wij kunnen zelf wel eens bidden, maar soms dan heb je ook de kracht niet om zelf te bidden. En dan is het heel goed dat er mensen om je heen staan die voor jou dat doen. En daarbij geloof ik ook, zoals de Romeinenbrief het ook zegt, dat de geest dan meebidt.
Ja.
Dus op die manier hoeven die mensen zich dan ook niet zich verlaten te voelen. Ja.
Wat is je droom?
Mijn droom? Ja, ik heb heel veel dromen. Maar een van mijn dromen is om ooit nog eens een boek te schrijven. En over...
Waarvoor begin je vandaag niet?
Ik ben eerlijk gezegd al wel begonnen. Okay. Maar dat is een ander verhaal. Ik zou graag nog een boek schrijven over de beginperiode van de wereld. Dus over de zondvloed, Noach. En daarin te laten zien... dat moet dan wel een beetje met fantasie. Hoe zij wandelden met God. Hoe Noach dat deed, hoe Henoch dat deed. En om mensen met name te bemoedigen om te blijven geloven.
Gangpad, ik wil je heel hartelijk bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen wilde vertellen over je leven van een adoptiebaby uit India naar straks iemand die hoop door mag geven vanuit het geloof. Je gaat een boek schrijven, dat is je droom. Ik heb geen boek geschreven, maar dit zijn verhalen van allerlei mensen die bij Out of Power geïnterviewd zijn. Ik hoop dat je daar leest, inspiratie uit krijgt.
Ja.
En inspiratie krijg je ook, heb je al gezegd, als je naar Out of Power kijkt. En vandaar dat wij teruggaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Are you going through tough times? Are you fighting tears? Are you in need of comfort and prayer? Do you need an uplift? Whoever you are, wherever you are, only God knows. But if you need a helping hand, if you need encouragement, this program is for you. God has planned it, put it together, is using these faces and voices to pray for you, to reach out, to give you a lift, like an arm embracing you. In your moments of trouble or despair, this program comes along and it's God's way of reaching around your life. Let us pray for you today. Send your prayer request to the Hour of Power.
Heart.
I have a great theme for you today. It's a charge. It's a message title that begins with a verb. Listen, if a sermon starts with a verb, get prepared to make a decision before the end of the message. The verb is wake. Wake up, God's dream in you. Thinking of all of the speeches I've given around the world, and I think probably the one that stands out is in Colorado Springs. It was to the graduating class of the United States Air Force Academy. The chapel was packed with the students, the relatives, and others. And wow. I looked across those faces and said, we all have something in common. All of us had a dream, and we've seen it come true. You've come from 50 states, and today, all of you here, Air Force graduates, are honored with the great diploma. Yes, we have something in common. I had just a little dream. It was a pretty big dream. First when I was tiny, and it grew, and it survived. My dream was that I could become a platform spokesman for Jesus Christ and give people the impression that they should have that this Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, I know what it's like for dreams to come true. Oh, I remember when I was a child, how we used cardboard in our shoes. Yes, when the sole wore through and we had a hole about the size of a nickel where the stocking would wear through in 10 minutes and the skin of the foot would touch cement or dirt. That's where I came from. And so we would take a piece of cardboard and cut it out and put it as an inner sole in the shoe. How many of you did that? Look at that. That's, stand up. I want to see you. Thank you very much. Well, let me say to all of you, if you need more new cardboard, let me know and I'll replace it for you. Wow. So I want to share with you what I've learned about 10 levels that dreams go through from conception to realization. Because I've lived the life of a dreamer. First thing I've learned is that the dream was not my dream. I thought it was. But I've learned that the dream started in the mind of God. And he gave it to us, to me and to you. It had to start with him because the dream always had too many impossibilities potentially locked inside of it. Level one, a dream begins in the mind of God. Level two, God matches his dream to some human being who could be the dreamer of that dream, who could receive it with respect and not discard it. Discard it simply because it's impossible. Because something is impossible is never a reason to discard a good idea. Remember that. If idea is good and it's great and it's beautiful, don't throw it away simply because it's impossible. Because impossibles are realities that can be changed to possibilities. That's what growth is about. That's what progress is about. So God takes a dream, something he'd like to see happen in this planet. And he finds a human being. And he gives that dream to the person. Now, always, that has to be a person who will believe in miracles. And God knows who these people are. You and I don't know them. We know some of them. But creativity happens when an impossible idea connects in the consciousness of some human being. Level one, the dream begins in the mind of God. Level two, God matches that dream to some human being. Level three, the dream takes on a life of its own. Yes. You know, no dream is ever a dream. Many apples come from one seed. And in the dream that you have, the dreams I've had, they found a home in the hearts and minds of many others. I would suppose that practically every person in this audience this morning picked up a dream that Schuller had for a church and a ministry, and you've given it. You're here. You're praying for it. You're supporting it. It has become your dream, not my dream. And your dream became, in the mind and heart of God, His dream. He had a beautiful idea that a church made out of glass, no gloomy corners. Look around. I said to the architect, no gloomy corners, no black walls, all light. Level 4, God times the evolutionary process as that dream evolves, starts in his mind, he gives it to people. It becomes a commitment, and the process begins. Dreaming is not something that happens once. The dream of this Crystal Cathedral was probably 40 years, but I could never let it go. Yeah. The idea emerged, and then the money had to be raised, and then the engineering had to be accomplished. It was said, all glass, 414 feet long, 100 feet longer than a football field, all windows. That's impossible. We specialize in turning impossibilities into possibilities, right? Let's hear you say right. How a dream becomes a reality. Level 1, it begins in the mind of God, not your mind, not my mind. Then he finds a human being who will respect it, not discard it, but respect it. And he matches his dream to a human being. Then in that mind of a human, the dream, impregnated in a human brain, becomes a life of its own. And it is born with its own power. And it attracts support. The support is not attracted to you, you think so? No, the dream attracts the power. Like the idea attracts the support in sales. Level 4, watch this dream evolve. The process is evolutionary. Oh, it will take time for the right people to be attracted to it. It'll be take time for the right possibilities to happen. Level 5, surprising support for this dream comes out of the blue, unexpected sources. Every time I shared the dream that God gave me of a drive-in church and then this church and then the television ministry, every time I'd get a letter or a telephone call or somebody would stop me. Tell me how they thought it was a great idea and they were on board. Support came always from unexpected sources. People are out there all the time waiting for some interest in life or some excitement in living. And they are alert to unfolding dreams that are coming out of the blue. And they'll come to you. It's happened with me again and again. Level 5, as it comes from unexpected sources, moves to level 6. Temporary setbacks, difficulties, obstacles will enter to create frustration. That's to tempt you to back away while you can still walk away. I've had to go through that with every dream I've ever accepted from God. But God tests us so that he can be sure that if we don't walk away and will succeed and be crowned with the victory, we will be authentically humble, knowing that by God we did it. No, we just didn't quit, and the people made it happen. Level 7, the dream comes true, the unbelievable happens, and it's my testimony today. And I've had dreams. I was a boy 5 years old when I had the dream of becoming a minister. It came true. I had the dream of putting together the systematic theology of evangelical Christianity so people could understand it. It has come true. Well, I won't go through all the rest of my dreams. This one you're sitting in was a big one, a really big one. And sitting in it are the people who made it happen. The dream comes true. 30 years ago today, for the first time, people walked under this roof and we sang praises to God. Wow. The levels of a dream. Level 8. The dream has come true. What's left? Level 8. And that's when the dreamer looks in the mirror and he sees how he has changed. How he's not the person he was when he first made a commitment to go after it. There is an authentic humility that cannot be created out of fiction. There is a profound gratitude to so many people, many whom he'll never meet face to face, but they made it happen, even though they didn't know him face to face. He has been shaped by the dream. Yes, his faith in God is now a reality like it never was. His faith in people, simple people, is profound. Yes, level 9, the dream has come true. But the dream doesn't stop. It doesn't end with success. It keeps growing. What God has done through meetings in this structure, phenomenal, impacting the world. The dream keeps growing. Then finally, when the dream enters the danger zone, level 10, and you've achieved success. Wow. I remember in these 30 years, the people who have been here and went on, they're no longer with us. I'm thinking of one lady, she came, she loved me, and she loved my messages, and she baked pies and would always bring me a pie. It had a name on the Marie Callender. Marie Callender's pies. I got fat on them. But she was a dear one. She never wanted to miss this church. Marie Callender. Simple story. She made potato salad and coleslaw in a delicatessen. And then the boss asked her to make pies for the lunch crowd. She did. She baked the pies at home, dragging flour sacks that weighed over 100 pounds each. Then in 1948, she and her husband sold their car, bought a Quonset hut, bought an oven and a refrigerator, and she baked pies that her husband sold to restaurants in the area. She started out baking 10 pies a day. 2 years later, she was baking over 200 pies a day. 16 years later, several thousand were coming out of her ovens every day. Wow. So then they opened their first pie shop in 64, and the first year barely broke even. But her husband, later her son, guided the business till there was a chain of restaurants. So what is your dream? God has a dream for your life. Now the big news is, it's not your dream. It's God's dream. He sees people. His dream is they might find a job, earn some money, produce some product or service. So he's targeting you. His dream is targeting a dreamer. And the dream will take on a life of its own if you will let it live in you and not discard it simply because it's impossible. You got to keep on living. And living is turning impossibilities into possibilities. So, go for it. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing.
If you're here today and you do not have a church home, or would like to know more about the God who believes in you, I encourage you to take time, talk and pray with one of our ministry leaders. They'll be right here at the front of the church. I know I'd be very proud if I could say that you are a member with me of this church. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunset, no sunrise, only eternal life with the Lord in heaven. Amen.
En tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Altijd weer bemoedigend en ik hoop dat u en jij er de nieuwe week mee in kunt. Bijzonder, we hebben het gehad over de afdeling nazorg van Hour of Power, willen we denken aan mensen die in een hele moeilijke situatie in hun leven zitten. Dat kan zijn door ziekte, door het verlies van iemand. En dan ga je soms door een dal van diepe duisternis, zoals in Psalm 23 staat. Maar God gaat met je mee, de goede herder is er ook bij. En als u gebed nodig heeft, of als u zegt ik zoek steun en ik zoek hulp, schrijf ons alsjeblieft. Ik nodig u daartoe uit. Ons adres is te vinden op onze website. Of u kunt ook uw verzoek per e-mail insturen. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag toe nogmaals. En graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
Choir.